You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
That death angel began to move across Egypt, and the cries of sorrow and heartbreak arose. That angel had eyes for the blood, and when he saw the blood, he passed over. And that's the only thing that saved them. That's it. When I see the blood, 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 I will pass over you.
What does the cross mean to you? Does the blood of Jesus hold significance in your faith journey? Or is it just something that you're confronted with at an Easter service? In today's message, Pastor Jeff wants you to remember that nothing is more paramount to your faith than the precious blood of Jesus. He sacrificed himself so that you might be saved from your sins and lifted up from the depths of despair. The bedrock of your journey with God is this incredible sacrifice, a glorious source of redemption and renewal. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Exodus chapter 12 as he continues his message, the power of the blood.
You know how God said, you're going to deliver my people. And he said, but I can't even talk good. And God said, you'll do whatever I tell you to do. I'll give you the ability. And so Moses went down there with the staff in his hand and took Aaron, his brother. And you know the story. After 10 plagues, the 10th plague was the deal maker, because the 10th plague was the death of all the firstborn of the Egyptians, right down to all the cattle. The Bible says God moved to deliver them by that final plague. He told Moses, he said, when I do this one, this 10th one, they're going to let you go. And they will not change their mind. They're going to let you go. And Moses, I want you to be ready. You tell the people, don't even take the sandals off your feet. Don't leaven your bread, because you're getting out of there. And when you get out of there, it's going to be fast. I can almost say to you today, keep your shoes on. The rapture could happen at any moment, at any time. Because God said, don't even take your shoes off, because when I go to set you free, it's going to happen fast. And so the Bible says, God did it. God did it. And he moved. And it says, it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. But while Egypt wept, ladies and gentlemen, God's people rested safely in their homes, untouched by it all, protected by the blood, protected by the blood of the slain lamb, the blood that was put on the doorposts. When the angel saw the blood, he passed over. When the angel saw the blood, he did not strike that home. Now, I want us to see some parallels here in what happened in this story and where we are today. Because first of all, we note that when God told Moses, I want you to get the people ready with blood on the doorposts of their homes, because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. My judgment is coming. Now, it's not popular these days to stand in a pulpit and talk about judgment, and that's really sad, because it should be proclaimed from every pulpit. Listen, 100 years ago, you almost never heard a sermon that didn't talk about hell, heaven, judgment, the need to repent, the need to be born again. Christ is the only way. Get ready to suffer, deny yourself, sacrifice for him, be persecuted for him. But now we got all these feel-good messages that are leaving an entire generation of Christians totally unprepared for hard times. But here's the deal. God said, my judgment is coming. Now, again, judgment's not popular, but let me tell you something. You could hardly read a book in the Bible that you're not going to read about God's judgment. God is a God of love. He's a God of holiness. Because he's a God of holiness, he must judge. Sin is answered in only two ways in God's universe: by the blood of the Lamb shed for your sins and mine, or we will answer for our sins. But sin must be answered. It must be addressed. God cannot let sin go by without addressing it. Either by the blood of the Lamb, where it was addressed on the cross, that I'll talk about in a moment, or you will answer for your sin, but it must be addressed. Judgment was coming. And God was telling the people, I want you to be ready. And here's how you get ready. You put the blood on the doorpost of your house. That represents the heart. That represents the soul. That represents the life. Because the door was the way in. And the soul is the way in to you and me. It's the gateway. And God said, I want the blood on the doorpost. And so I see a parallel here. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to realize that judgment is coming to this world. I said, judgment is coming to this world. There's no way around it. You say, well, Jeff, come on. Don't be so gloomy. This isn't gloomy. I'm telling you the truth so that if you don't know Jesus, you can get saved. We need to hear this. We need to realize that our God, it's that God. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. It's just Jesus put a face on him. Jesus made him approachable. But it's the same God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're the same. They work in unison together. They do nothing outside of total perfect unity. And God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for sexual perversion. He judged the whole world in Noah's day because they were living apart from God and they were filled with violence and they never, ever, ever gave God the glory for anything. And the whole world was judged. That was the same God of the New Testament. That's God. He judges sin. And listen, he's already said he's going to judge sin. In our text, Egypt is about to face the fiercest judgment of the ten. It was showtime. This was the last one, the most serious one. And like Egypt of old, our world is about to experience the big one, the second coming of Christ. Let me read a few verses to you. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. Every one of us is going to give an account of himself to God. What will I give an account for? What you did with your life that God gave you, the gifts he gave you, the grace and mercy he gave you, the forgiveness that he gave you. You're going to give an account for all the times that he opened the door to you and said, whosoever will, let him come. You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account for what I did with the giftings and the gracings God put on my life to bless other people. So are you. We all are. If you're in Christ, you won't answer for sin, but you will answer for your works. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and that is when our works are tried by fire. We won't go to hell. Our sin is not going to be judged because our sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb if you're a believer, but God will judge the works. And if the works, if what you did with your life was to the glory of God, then God calls it gold, silver, and precious stones. But if what you did was to the glory of you and you wasted and squandered what God gave you, then it's wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burned up. But you will be saved, yet only by the skin of your chinny chin chin. Are you with me? I know this is serious, but hey, folks, we're living in desperate, serious times. We need to know what the Bible says. And just as, here's another one, Hebrews 9:27. Just as it is appointed, or just as it is appointed for all men once to die, once. And after that, the certain judgment. You're not coming back again. Buddhism lies to you about that. You don't go through an endless life cycle that just repeats throughout eternity. That's a lie of Buddhism. No, you die once. I die once. You're not coming back as a cricket or a frog or an animal or a bird. You're not coming back as a caterpillar or your favorite pet. You're not coming back. You're not coming back. Once you're gone, that's it. And you face certain judgment. And all of you out there watching online or listening on radio or social media later, I love you in Christ, but I want to tell you that you're going to die once. And as soon as you die, you're going to go into the presence of God. And one day we will answer. We will answer for our sin and what we did with our life if we're believers. If we're not believers, we'll answer for every sin we ever commit. He has appointed a day, Acts 17:31, on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, capital M, whom he has ordained. Well, who's the man? It's Christ Jesus. See, he came as the Lamb of God. He's going to return as the Lion of Judah. And when he returns, he's going to gather all the nations to himself. And he's going to separate sheep from goats, believers from non-believers. And he's going to judge the nations. And you will give an account. I will give an account. We'll answer for our life. So the Bible warns again and again that judgment is coming upon the human race, just like it did Sodom and Gomorrah, just like it did Noah's day, just like it did Egypt. And my question today is, are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? Luther said there's two days I respect, today and that day. I respect today because I have today. I don't know if I have tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. No guarantee of anything. But I respect today and I respect that day. That day is capital D day. That day. When we face God. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet your maker? Because we're all going to. I say it all the time, but I wish I could go on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSLSD, I mean MSNBC. I wish I could go on all of them and have 5 minutes with their audience and say, are you ready to meet your maker? Because your time is coming. Judgment is coming when it will be eternally too late. You won't get a second chance. You will not get a redo. You may have a great 401k retirement plan in place, but you're going to die. You might have a nice, comfortable home, but you're going to die one day and leave that home empty. You may have great friends. They're going to die. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, lift me up today. I am lifting you up today. I'm talking real. I'm talking real. You may have had a great report at your last doctor's visit. That's good. But one day you're still going to die. And after that, the judgment. So I came to give you an out. I came to open an exit door. I came to, if you're saved, then go out and be contagious and infectious when church is over today. Let's start a pandemic of salvation. A pandemic. I'm tired of hearing of the COVID pandemic. Let's do a pandemic of salvation. A pandemic of the move of God. A pandemic of people coming to Christ. The powerful and the hopeful message here is that because of the blood that was on the doorpost, Israel did not come under judgment. Let me tell you something. Let me clarify reasons why they weren't delivered. This is important. What didn't play a part in Israel's deliverance? They weren't saved because they were Abraham's descendants. That's not why they were saved. So they couldn't claim salvation by ancestry or salvation by pedigree. They weren't something spiritually special to God because they were descendants of Abraham to whom God gave the covenants. That's not why God set them free. They didn't have some inside track on God's mercy because of Abraham and their connection to Abraham. So they weren't saved by ancestry. And we also see they weren't saved by their personal good deeds. No. So they couldn't claim salvation by good deeds. Salvation because I'm so wonderful. Salvation because I've been so good. No, they couldn't. We hear in the Bible no mention from God about how good they'd been, that they were model citizens of Egypt, don't you know? Or how they'd kept the law, how good they were at the law. They weren't. They were miserable. They failed the law. We hear nothing about them being upstanding religious people. And that's why God did not say to them, look, when the death angel moves across Egypt, I'm setting you free just because of all the good things you've done. No, that wasn't it. So there was no salvation by ancestry. There was no salvation by good deeds. We also see there was no salvation by association. They weren't saved because they were close to Moses. God didn't say to them, because you're so thick with Moses, I'm going to set you free. No, folks, we got to get away from this. There are people that somehow believe this. Well, I was raised a preacher's kid. Or how about this? I'm going to be saved because my mama was saved. My daddy was saved. Or I had a praying grandma. Or I had a preacher for a grandpa. Well, guess what? Good for them, not so good for you. If you don't have your own encounter with Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't matter what your daddy did, your granddaddy did. No, you're not gonna face God and say, Granddad, come on up here and vouch for me. No, not at all. Come here, Grandma, you prayed for me. She may be sitting off in the background saying, I tried. No, there's no salvation by association. It doesn't matter who you knew, who you were around. That doesn't get you favor with God. There is no, and Israel was not delivered because they were tight, close, following Moses. No, that wasn't why. I want you to notice something. Not by ancestry, not by good deeds, not by association. None of those things delivered them. No, the bottom line is that Israel was not delivered by one solitary thing they did of themselves. Mm-mm. It brings us to the reason why Jesus had to die on the cross. Because listen, that night, Israel trusted solely and only in the blood on the doorposts. That was it. I get to see a family conversation. You sure you got it out there? Yeah, you got both posts? I got them both. Really visible? Really visible. Because listen, everybody, when that death angel began to move across Egypt and the cries of sorrow and heartbreak arose, that angel had eyes for the blood. And when he saw the blood, he passed over. And that's the only thing that saved them. That's it. When I see the blood, 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 I will pass over you. When I see the blood. There's an old hymn that says, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due, all who receive him. Need never fear. Yes, he will pass. He will pass over you. Amen. See, the message of the Resurrection Sunday, the message of Christmas, the message of everything in between, the entire message of the Old Testament, all the festivals, all that they were told to do, slaying animals, the Day of Atonement, the Passover feast, all the various feasts and festivals, all of them were signposts pointing down towards the arrival of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Capital T, capital H, or L. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. How important is the shed blood of the Lord? How important? Because I want you to remember what he did for you and me. Father, if there's any way for me to get out of this. He's sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Some contend the first blood shed was that blood. When he sweated blood, the corpuscles under his skin burst from the stress of what he was headed for. And he sweated blood. If there's any way for me to circumvent this, go the other way. If there's a shortcut, God, show me. Because I don't want that temporary separation from you on the cross. I dread that. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the Son humbled himself. Philippians 2 says, all the way down to the death on the cross. And they beat him, and they abused him, and they mocked him, and they ridiculed him, and they manhandled him, and they ripped his back wide open, and they made his face where his mother did not know him on the cross. There's no beauty that we would desire him. His face is marred more than any man, Isaiah predicted. So that when we look at him, we don't know who he is. We turn our face away. We can't handle the sight. Get it? You were there. I was there. We were there. The whole human race was there. Every sin committed by man was there. Putting him on that tree. My sins put him on the tree. Your sins put him on the tree. We all did it. And there he hung between heaven and earth. And that blood that spilled down that cross was the currency, the only currency that can set us free. It was the only currency. There's at least 43 references to the blood of Christ in the New Testament. Let me give you a few in closing. Judas the betrayer, even him, spoke of Jesus' blood as being innocent blood. Hebrews 13:20 says it's the blood of the new covenant. Peter called it the precious blood of Christ. John called it the cleansing blood of Christ. In the book of Revelation, it's called the washing blood, removing the guilty stain of all of our sins. And Paul calls it the purchasing blood in Acts 20:28 and the redeeming blood in Ephesians 1, verse 7. It's the justifying blood in Romans 5, verse 9, the ransoming blood in 1 Peter 1, 19, the peacemaking blood in Colossians 1, 20. It's the blood offered once for all in Hebrews 10, verse 12. It's the sanctifying blood in Hebrews 13, 12. Praise God, it's the blood that conquers Satan in Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. And it's the blood that purchased us into freedom. In Revelations 1, verse 5, I thank God for the power of the blood of the Lamb. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Yes, sir. Amen, 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 amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Muhammad's blood can't set you free. Buddha's blood can't set you free. No religious leader in history can set you free. Only the blood of the Lamb can set you free.
What a timely message from Pastor Jeff. Today we learned that amidst our faith journey, a divine sacrifice is soaked with crimson love hues. Pause and reflect on the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus. He willingly offered himself in your place, bearing the weight of your sins. As a believer, each day becomes an opportunity to live in response, a living sacrifice, mirroring the profound love he poured out for you. Let every breath, every step resonate with this sacrifice.
Are you interested in partnering with us here at Hardwired? We'd love for you to come alongside us in supporting this ministry. All you have to do is go to our website and find the Donate tab. It's that easy. That website again is hardwired.org. Thanks so much for prayerfully considering this today, and thanks for listening to this radio ministry. Daniel has more to tell you about what's ahead on the upcoming edition of Hardwired.
In the tender embrace of God's grace, a cleansing power surpasses the weight of guilt and shame you've carried for years. In the next installment of Hardwired, Pastor Jeff urges you to allow God's free gift of grace to wash over you like a soothing river, dissolving the stains of regret and the echoes of past mistakes. Let go of the burdens you've harbored and feel the miraculous touch of His mercy. Embrace the freedom that comes from being washed anew. There's more Pastor Jeff has to share from the book of Matthew, so be sure to join us again. If you missed any part of today's teaching, you can find it online at hardwired.org. We're so glad we could be part of your day today, and we pray you've been blessed by today's edition of Hardwired.